You are Locked On Hawks, your daily Atlanta Hawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 499 of the Locked On Hawks podcast. I am your host, Brad Rowland, and as promised, we are back to talk about the last two games, both on Friday and Saturday, ended up both being with Hawks victories, a team that's playing very, very well at the moment. The Hawks have won 5 out of 6 games. Granted, some of that's competition-based. They haven't played the most difficult schedule over the last 6 games, but still, getting 5 wins with this team is very, very impressive, and this will probably be a little bit longer of a pod than we normally do, at least by at least on my own on a solo show, but because we have 2 games to talk about. But we'll start on Friday, as we always do, and sort of go back through the things that transpired. So Friday's game was a final of 123-120. The Hawks were going up to Minnesota and winning on the road in overtime. Definitely a game full of highs and lows. The first quarter was awesome for Atlanta, and the third quarter was not so great for Atlanta, but some back-and-forth stuff. Minnesota did a lot of favors, I will say, to Atlanta with missed free throws and execution down the stretch, but still the Hawks did a lot to escape with a victory, and we'll start at the beginning here. Dwayne Debin got actually 2 early fouls. The Hawks were very, very short-handed in the front court. No Alex Len in the game on Friday night. He did recur on Saturday, but no Alex Len, and Debin got in foul trouble, so they had to sort of battle a little bit early on. They went to Alex Poythress, though, who actually had a huge impact in the first quarter of this contest, had six points in the first 3 minutes of the game. He was huge. Trae Young was very, very good early on in the game, and I would say there was a lot of early whistles in this contest. They had to go to Poythress at the 5, actually, after Collins got his second foul as well. So both starting big men, Collins and Debin, had 2 fouls in the first handful of minutes. They went to Poythress. The Hawks did have a 9-0 run, though, to go up by 28-15 margin. Got up to a 16-point lead briefly in the first quarter. And in general, Atlanta played great in that opening period. It was the highest scoring first quarter of the season for Atlanta with 42 points. The previous high was 41 against Miami in early November, and the Hawks shot 65% from the floor, 6 of 10 from 3 in the first quarter. Minnesota actually scored pretty decently with 48% from the floor, 50% from 3, but it was all Atlanta's offense that was sort of keying things, and it was a 42-27 lead at the end of the first quarter. By the way, 12 points for Alex Poythress in that first quarter. That was his entire output for the game, but still it was very, very much needed, I would say, for the Hawks, and 10 points in the first quarter for Kent Bazemore as well. Second quarter was much more ho-hum, sort of an evenly battled quarter. The Hawks did lead by 22 points briefly at the 8-minute mark or so, 56-34, but from that point forward, it was a lot of Minnesota for the next quarter and a half or so. It was a 21-8 run, I should say, by Minnesota to get back within striking distance, and then they had a 12-2 run later on to get back within 9. Jeremy Lin did stop the bleeding with a huge 3, actually, at about the 3:20 mark of the second quarter, and Kent Bazemore was fantastic as well. He had 15 points in his first 12 minutes, did have 2 fouls in back-to-back sequence. He had 2 fouls in 30 seconds, and actually had 4 fouls with 4:24 to go in the first half, which is crazy given the way he played, and the 2 fouls were definitely probably earned by Kent, but still some bad timing there on his front. But Trae Young played very well, 8 assists in the first 12 minutes of his play. Only played 12 minutes, actually, which is kind of odd to me that he only played 12 minutes in that first half against Minnesota, but Trae was very good. Lin was also pretty good and also got his 3rd foul in the closing seconds of the first half, which probably contributed to Young playing a little bit more after that. There was no Amari Spellman in this game. That was part of my notes here. Spellman did not play at all in either game, actually, which is kind of surprising that given that he's now healthy and back, there were some conditioning issues that he had before that, coming off of a long-term absence, but still pretty surprising to see him in neither one of these games. I thought once he didn't play on Friday that he would be sort of saved for Saturday, but he did not play on Saturday either. That's something to just keep in mind for the future. Still, the first half against Minnesota was awesome. A 127 offensive rating for Atlanta, 62% from the floor, 10 of 19 from 3. And the defense sort of let up in the second quarter, but still pretty impressive there. Did have some foul issues, as I mentioned before. 4 on Bazemore, 3 each for Debin and Lin in the first half, and that definitely did come into play later on. Bazemore did start the second half despite 4 fouls. He was able to sort of play around them, and honestly, the fact that he was able to play 33 minutes is pretty impressive. He did foul out finally later on in the game, but did sort of get to work around those a little bit. The third quarter, though, as I mentioned before, was all Minnesota. There was a 3 by Robert Covington to open the half. There was a 7-0 run from Atlanta, but from that point forward, it was kind of all Wolves. There was a 6-0 run by Minnesota to get back within 10. And then there was a timeout from Lloyd Pierce, and then actually a 10-0 run overall from Minnesota. They kept it coming in a lot of ways. The turnovers were the problem for Atlanta. They had 18 turnovers in the first 29 minutes of action. That was pretty ugly in terms of ball security in the game. I say only, but only 24. Actually felt like more than that, honestly, with the way that the Hawks were giving the ball away for a lot of this contest. And that was actually an 18-5 run by the Wolves to get back within 3 later on in the third quarter. They went with actually a pretty interesting lineup of Poitras, Carter, and Anderson late in the third quarter. That was there was some mild success there, I would say, but sort of a non-traditional alignment. Minnesota got within 2, though, and the Hawks actually got a pretty bad shot clock violation. Hawks fans then took a lot of pleasure when Karl Anthony Towns was called for his first foul of the game late in the third quarter. After all these Hawks guys were in foul trouble, Towns was sort of immune to getting whistles. I kind of made a note about that because there was a lot of Hawks fans that were not very happy about that. Still got to one that Lee actually got to still be sort of in preservation. The Hawks were still able to sort of hold on a little bit. There was a nice layup from Kevin Huerter, but it was finally tied by the Wolves with a Covington three late in the quarter. Pretty nice first three quarters from Trae Young, 8 points, 11 assists, and 3 turnovers. But in general, the third quarter was pretty ugly. Dwayne Dedman was the only bright spot, I will say. He had 9 points, 9 points on a trio of threes in the third, but the Hawks only had 18 as a team and shot 33% from the floor with 6 turnovers. Pretty ugly in a lot of ways there. The fourth, there's a lot of back and forth and some play-by-play stuff here. There was actually not too much going on for the first several minutes of the fourth quarter, other than the fact that there was a 14-5 run from the Wolves to go up by 9, actually, early on in the fourth. That was a 44-23 run extended by Minnesota in the first 16 minutes of the half. So pretty much domination in the way from the way that Minnesota played in the first 16 minutes of the second half. And there was a 31-point swing over about 24 game minutes. That's something that usually gets you beat, but the Hawks did come back to their credit. They scored 8 points in a row after that, including a tough runner by Bazemore to get back within 1 with about 5 minutes to go. And from there, it got really kind of crazy. There was a Vince Carter three to go up with about 4 minutes to go. Back and forth from there, Lynn missed out of a timeout, then Towns scored to go up by 3. Bazemore missed both free throws actually at 2:32 mark. That was pretty significant. They brought in Trae Young again after he had sat for a very, very long time. Covington missed a wide open dunk with 2 minutes and 10 seconds to go that actually would have put the Wolves up by 5. That was a huge play in the game. In fact, he missed 2 dunks, which was kind of interesting to see. From there, though, Towns blocked Bazemore at the rim, and then the Wolves got a second offensive rebound to extend a possession there. And also, Trae Young threw the ball away at the 55-second mark on a behind-the-back pass to Dedman. I thought it was probably a reasonable play from Young. That was a very controversial take, apparently, but I thought it was a pretty good spot to use a behind-the-back pass. It's a pretty typical play for NBA point guards. He just kind of missed it. It was he was wide on the pass. I thought Dedman probably could have got to it and didn't, but it was definitely more on Young, to be sure. Just something that I wanted to point out because there was a lot of reaction to that, but I thought it was not a bad decision, just more bad execution. But that led to a backcourt violation. Towns then got fouled, made 1 of 2 with 41.9 seconds to go to go up by 4. Dedman missed a top of the key 3, but the Hawks got the ball after it went out of bounds. And Bazemore missed, but Trae found Collins, who missed additionally, but tipped the ball in to get back within 2 points. There was a dead ball there after that, and the Wolves inbounded in a terrible, terrible way. Dario Saric threw the ball away with a horrible pass that was stolen by Kent Bazemore on the high side. He went down and dunked the ball to tie the game. That was a huge thing. And then the Hawks had this great defensive possession at the end of regulation with pretty much sort of on a string execution from the defense. And Derrick Rose was blocked at the buzzer to preserve the overtime game. It's the first overtime game of the year for the Hawks, which actually surprised me, and I didn't really realize that, but that was the way it went. And in overtime, they actually went with Bembry over Huerter, which I thought was interesting to note. And until Bazemore fouled out, and they had to go back to Huerter. Baze fouled out with about 3 minutes to go. Actually, after a pretty bad turnover from Baze and Collins at the top of the key with the Hawks down by 1, they fouled Wiggins in transition. But again, I mentioned before, but Covington missed another dunk that would have put up the Wolves by 4 points. That was a huge one. He lost the ball going up. That wasn't quite as bad as the first one where he just kind of missed the dunk. This was sort of just a fumble away from Covington. But then Trae Young hit a 3 that was a huge shot to put the Hawks up by 1 momentarily. After that, it was a deep ball, and it was actually his first shot of the game from 3-point range. Going up by 1, Young got blocked by the got blocked at the rim, I should say, by Karl-Anthony Towns at about the 1 minute mark. But From there, Wiggins was fouled but missed both free throws at 49.3 seconds mark. That was a big theme, I should say, from this game, was that Minnesota just could not make free throws to save their lives. From that point forward, Herter hit a massive off-the-dribble three going to his right to put the Hawks up by four. That was a huge shot from Herter, who had actually kind of struggled in the game, but he played great down the stretch after coming back in from Bazemore. They fouled Towns with 36 seconds to go. He made both to get back within two. Herter then missed a three at 15 seconds or so. But Wiggins got bailed out at about 4.5 seconds to go. Missed one of two. Another missed free throw from Andrew Wiggins. Devin then got fouled off the rebound with 1.7 seconds to go, putting the Hawks up by three. And then Josh Okogie, a Georgia Tech product, tried to draw a foul in the corner at the buzzer. And the Hawks did not get the... I guess the Wolves did not get the benefit of a bailout whistle. I thought it was a pretty good play by Bembry. He sort of jumped straight up. Okogie went probably in an old school way. You would have thought that was definitely a foul in real time. And I know a lot of Wolves fans were pretty unhappy with the fact that it wasn't called. But the 2-minute report came out, and there was no. I guess the league agreed with the call on the floor. I also agree with the call on the floor. Bembry went straight up, and Okogie definitely went out of his way to try to draw contact. I was okay with a no call there. And that was the end of that. The Hawks escaped with a 3-point win. And it was definitely, as you could see, there was a lot going on. I don't often do a ton of play-by-play stuff, but there was just so much happening in the fourth quarter and overtime that I kind of wanted to do that for you guys there to paint the picture if you missed this game. The free throw shooting, I think, was probably one of the biggest things to point out in this contest. Minnesota finished the game 21 of 38, 55% from the free throw line. That was huge. If they had made their free throws, they would have won this game pretty comfortably, honestly, with the way that they had played overall. A lot of officiating, I will say. I was, a lot of Hawks fans were probably more upset than I was, to be sure. But the officiating was, I thought, pretty slanted in favor of Minnesota. Granted, they're playing at home. They're the better team. Towns got a lot of calls. He's a big star. I get all that. But Atlanta just did not have the benefit of officiating in this game, I will say. Bazemore fouls out. 5 on Dedmon. 5 on Collins. 4 on Poitras. The 3 on Lynn in the first half. Just a lot of fouls in this game. And most of them were on the Hawks side of things, which, credit to them for playing through that. I will say Towns was awesome. 31 points, 19 rebounds. It definitely helped that he got a lot of foul calls. But, Wiggins was really struggled. In fact, actually, he, after this game, took a shot at the Wolves crowd, which is probably not a great idea for someone who just played as poorly as he did over 41 minutes. In typical Tibbs fashion, they played 9 guys, and 3 of their guys had 40-plus minutes, whereas no one on the Hawks played more than 39 minutes. That's very, very Tibbs. But on the whole, the Hawks offense did a pretty good job. 110 offensive rating, 47% from the floor, 46% from 3, which is huge. Too many turnovers, as I said before. 24 turnovers is just way too many, but on the whole, pretty good performance. 32 assists as well for Atlanta. Defensively, they did a pretty decent job. The first quarter or so was up and down, but after things settled in a little bit, in the fourth especially, the Hawks played pretty good defense, and it got a nice win. The Hawks were 9.5-point underdogs in this game. It was a pretty surprising result, all things considered, but shouts to Atlanta for pulling out what became a pretty impressive victory. On to the individual stuff in this game, as we always do. I'll probably try to be a little bit briefer on this than I was on the actual game stuff, but the starters were all pretty good in this game. John Collins, 21 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists for John. Another sort of, status quo 2010 game from Collins. He's been awesome. 39 minutes to lead the entire Hawks roster. 9 of 15 from the floor, 0 of 2 from 3. I thought he was very good, and just the fouls were kind of plaguing him. But, definitely a tough matchup for him against Towns and Chaj Gibson, but I thought he played well. Dedmon, I mentioned before, the huge third quarter to sort of keep the Hawks within striking distance. 19 points, 13 rebounds. He ended up not playing, actually, on Saturday, which with some knee soreness, which is something to monitor in the future here. But I thought he played well in this game. He's another big reason why the Hawks were able to get this win. Trae Young, 16 points, 11 assists, 4 rebounds. Did have five turnovers, which is too many, but very efficient. 7 of 11 from the floor, 1 of 1 from 3. I mentioned that was the only time that he shot one, was a pretty difficult shot down the stretch, but he made it. And then 1 of 1 from the free throw line, and a very nice Trae game after not playing a ton in the first half. I thought it was the right move to go with him down the stretch, and he made enough plays to get it done. Bazemore continues to play great basketball. 23 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 steals for Kent in 33 minutes. He was 9 of 19 from the floor. 3 of 7 from 3. Not quite the career high performance that he had in the previous game, but still a very, very nice showing from Kent. And Kevin Herter, 10 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal and a block. The big shot was the big shot, I should say, in overtime. But, Kevin was okay aside from that, but not a great game from him, but still pretty solid. And the fact that he was able to come in kind of cold after Bazemore fouled out and play well was a pretty good sign for him moving forward. Off the bench, I mentioned Poitras before, but 12 points all in the first quarter, 2 block shots, 5 rebounds. He gave the Hawks great minutes, I thought, in his limited time. Vince Carter, 9 points on a trio of threes. That was pretty much all he did, but he did have two steals and a rebound. Two steals and assists and three rebounds. He had a huge game on Friday that we'll talk about, on Saturday that we'll talk about in a moment. But Vince was very good, I thought, in a small sample size there. Bembry played 35 minutes off the bench, which I really didn't notice in real time, but a big workload for him. A lot of that was defensively, but at six points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, and a block for DeAndre. He was pretty good, I thought, in this game. Was +1 in all those minutes. He was definitely needed on the defensive end of the floor, and he always helps there. And finally, Jeremy Lin, 7 points, 4 assists, 2 steals, and 3 rebounds. It was 2 of 8 from the floor, sort of an off night for him, shooting 2s. Actually, 0 of 6 on 2s, 2 of 2 from 3. But a pretty solid night overall from Jeremy, even despite the foul trouble that he had in the first half. Finally, Justin Anderson, scoreless. Did have 2 block shots, though, and 3 rebounds in 15 minutes. He was definitely he's been the fourth wing. He actually was the fourth wing again on Saturday, but he's just playing pretty well, pretty solid defensively. Offensively, he's definitely a limited player, but something that I've always liked about him is that his defense and his physicality, all that fun stuff, he brings that all to the table, and that was a nice performance from the Hawks. I know that's a lot to take in from a game that's 2 days old, but hopefully if you miss this one, that helps you to catch up on things. And a very, very nice win, you know, an upset of legitimate proportions. A lot of these games the Hawks have been playing have been like these pretty narrow spreads, but a 9.5 points underdog situation, the Hawks go in and Minnesota get a win. That's a pretty impressive showing, and shouts to them for that one. So after a quick break, as we usually do here in the middle of the podcast, we'll come back and talk all about the Cavs game. But please go ahead and subscribe to the podcast, do all that fun stuff, and we'll be back again in a few seconds. Okay, we're back to talk about the Cavs game. I was on the scene at State Farm Arena tonight. I wanted to do the podcast actually from the arena, but there was a concert, both halftime and postgame. That always makes it a little bit more difficult for me to do a podcast from the arena. It's always a little bit loud, and a lot of the fans are in there later than they normally would be. So I decided against that. Decided against the comforts of home, I should say, and the better sound quality. So forgive me for not having the podcast from the arena, but a fun game again here for Atlanta. I will say this is a pretty ugly game in a lot of ways. Even Lloyd Pierce after the game sort of acknowledged that it was not the most pretty performance from the Hawks or the Cavs, obviously, but the rock fight was won by the Hawks by a 111 to 108 margin. They've now won 5 of 6 games. That's a huge game there. I will say this is the second time this season the Hawks were favored in a game. The last time was against the Bulls back in October, and they actually lost that game. So this is the first time the Hawks won as a favorite, and they actually didn't cover the spread. They were 5-point favorites. They only won by 3, which is kind of funny. But the Hawks did get the win, and that was a nice performance there just because they sort of took care of business in a way. I guess just holding serve. That's kind of the best way to describe that. They went in and got a win they're supposed to get, and there's that. By the way, just as a bit of a note here, Lloyd Pierce said the team got back into Atlanta at about 3:30 a.m. from Minneapolis. That's a little bit later than you normally would think. You know, back-to-backs, guys are always getting back late. And it's also worth noting that Cleveland was on a back-to-back as well, so they got in very late as well. But 3:30 is pretty late, and then I'm sure it was sort of a rough travel experience for the Hawks in this game, which kind of probably added to the weirdness of the game itself. Still, it kind of showed in the first quarter of this game, especially at the outset. There was a 9-2 run from Cleveland to open the game, including the first 5 points from Chetty Osman. There's a pretty quick hook from Trae Young as Jeremy Lin came in at the 8:34 mark. Young actually opened with 0 of 2 and a turnover. I asked both Pierce and Young about his quick hook. Pierce sort of tongue-in-cheek sort of laughed and said that Trae knew what he did wrong. And after that, to his credit, Trae played great. I asked Trae as well. He basically said he got sped up, and sort of the message to him after that was just kind of to slow down. I think he was pressing a little bit early on in this game. It definitely showed in the box score. You know, Lin came in and did his normal sort of stabilizing force thing, and again after that, Young played great the rest of the game. But it was definitely an interesting story that I wanted to follow up on, so I asked both those guys about that, and they kind of gave me what you would think about the answers, but still interesting to just hear them say and acknowledge what transpired there early in the first quarter. Also worth noting, Miles Plumlee returned in this game after about a 10-game absence. Plumlee was actually the first guy to get backup center minutes in this game behind Alex Len because Devin was out of the lineup, so Len got the start. Didn't play a ton of minutes for Len, and we'll talk about that more later. But Plumlee got the first backup center minutes. He was actually okay. Didn't play a ton, only played 6 minutes in this game, but good to see him back out there. Obviously not a huge part of the future for the Hawks, but still, after an injury, good to see him back on the court. Also, Anderson got the first stint as the fourth wing again. That's something to, again, I think I said that earlier on the podcast about the Minnesota game, but Anderson's now fully entrenched as the fourth wing, and he was great in this game. We'll talk more about him later, but still, just good to see him playing more than he was early in the season, which I know I said a lot on this podcast, sort of baffled me, and he's definitely the best option that the Hawks have, at least right now, as the fourth wing on the roster. The Hawks got down by 17-8 margin. They actually opened this game 4 of 16 from the floor, 0 of 4 from 3, and 4 turnovers in the first 8 minutes. It's actually sort of a miracle they weren't down by more. But Atlanta trailed by a 24-14 margin and sort of came alive after that. I will say the big swing in this game for me was the end of the first quarter. There was a John Collins tip dunk with about 2 seconds to go in the actual quarter itself. That was definitely the highlight of the night. And then Bembry stole the inbounds pass and hit a three at the buzzer, falling out of bounds. So a quick 5-0 run at the end of the first quarter to go from what was an 8-point deficit to a 3-point deficit in the blink of an eye. That was a huge crowd moment. The crowd that was actually on the scene wasn't a great crowd, but still they were pretty lively at that point in time. And the Hawks were within three despite some bad shooting. And the only three of the first quarter was the Bembry shot at the buzzer. But Collins was really good in the first quarter with 8.6 rebounds, and the Cavs sort of helped them stay around as well, missing a ton of shots. But I mentioned the last 5 points there, but a 16-4 run across the end of the first and the beginning of the second quarter from the Hawks was huge. There was a trio of beautiful passes from Trae Young to Alex Len, sandwiched around a deep pull-up three by Young as well. He was great in that stretch after he had been yanked out. When he first came back in, had 4 assists, no turnovers, and made all three of his shot attempts in his first stretch after he was taken out of the game. Poitras got some run also at the end of the second quarter, actually playing the four next to Alex Len. And Pierce talked about how well he played. They wanted to go switchable. Ended up playing small quite a bit because of the fact that Cleveland was playing small. That's why Len didn't play as much as you would think he would have with 24 minutes, only 6 for Plumlee. That's probably why you didn't see Spellman either. But, from there, the Hawks had a beautiful run, a 13-2 run that was capped by threes from Jeremy Lin and Kevin Huerter to go up by 12. There was a 39-17 overall spurt from the Hawks after they were down by 10 in the first quarter. The Cavs did fight back, getting back within 5, and then eventually within 6 at the half. But the Hawks shot the ball well in the first half of the game, 49% from the floor. But more importantly, turned the ball over 6 times in the first half and only 12 times for the entire game. In fact, the second quarter was awesome for the Hawks, and they shot 56% from the floor, 44% from three, only had one turnover the entire second quarter, and that was huge. Len had 12 points in the first half. He actually finished with 12 points, but a pretty impressive performance from Len and his small sample size there. There was a run, though, to come from Cleveland. They had a 14-5 run to open the third quarter, take a 3-point lead there. There was a big shot from Vince Carter. There was a lot of that from Vince Carter in the second half. He was great in this game, but he stopped the bleeding there with a three. And then the Hawks had a 16-4 overall run after the 14-5 from the Cavs. So it was definitely a game of runs in the third quarter. There was actually a stretch late in the third quarter in which the Hawks went to Jeremy Lin and Trae Young playing together for the first time in a while. It's not been a lot that they've used a ton recently, but they were using that against Matthew Dellavedova, old Hawks friend, I'm sure, and Jordan Clarkson. So it's a pretty decent defensive matchup to be using that lineup against, and it actually worked a little bit. It wasn't a huge success or failure, but something to point out that they did try the 2-point guard front for the first time in a while. A 10-point quarter from Vince Carter in the third, and 8 for Trae Young in the third quarter. That was huge on a number of levels for both of those guys. It was sort of back and forth to open the fourth quarter, though. The Hawks went up by 11 at one point, but the Cavs then had a 7-0 run to get back within 4. They played small with a lot of John Collins, Vince Carter lineups in the fourth quarter. Vince had a nice sort of a throwback dunk to stop a run that was coming from the Cavs, and that prompted a timeout with 6 minutes to go. The Hawks then caught a huge break coming out of the timeout as Dellavedova had a horrible pass in transition that just had no chance of getting there, with Cleveland down only by 3 and threatening, but then actually turned into a corner 3 from Vince Carter. And the Hawks went back up by 6. That was huge, again, in the grand scheme, but Vince made a lot of shots. That was one of the bigger ones. Trae then got fouled, shooting a 3 with 3:15 to go when the lead had been slashed to 2. He made all 3, and then shortly after that, knocked down a 28-foot bomb to put the Hawks up by 6 again. That was ended up being a huge shot as well. Nance then did score for the Cavs, and then Bembry turned it over, leading to until Osmond getting fouled, and the Hawks were suddenly only up by 3 again. Then Huerter missed a 3, and then Osmond missed a free throw, but not after he scored. So it was suddenly a 1-point ball game again. Huerter missed another open 3. Colin Sexton was fouled with 57.9 seconds to go. He made 1 of 2 to tie the game, and then Pierce called timeout with under a minute to go. There was actually a nice drive and finish attempt from Huerter that he missed coming out of the timeout, but Collins got the rebound and finished around the rim to go up by 2 with about 48 seconds to go. There was a missed layup by Sexton and an official review, but then Cleveland failed to get the ball in bounds. Anderson got a nice steal, very, very timely steal to get the ball back to the Hawks. Another timeout from Pierce with 30 seconds to go. And that was actually the last timeout, which was probably not great, honestly, from a game theory perspective, to see Pierce call that timeout. I did not love that one, but ended up working out for him. Young missed a 3 that was kind of a bad shot, honestly, but Bembry got a nice rebound, was fouled with 14.7 seconds to go, made 1 of 2 to go up by 3, but the Cavs were unable to score as Clarkson missed a three on the possession. Then Carter got fouled with six seconds to go, went to the line and iced it, and that was the end of that. Worth noting, that was a season high in scoring for Vince Carter at 21 points. He was fantastic, and just as something to remember, Trey has really done very well against Cleveland. He actually had 35 and 11 in the first meeting between these two teams, and he had a nice 21-9 here tonight as well. But big picture stuff for Atlanta offensively. Nothing terribly pretty, but the turnovers were very, very limited. Only 12, which is a pretty successful night from the Hawks, who have had a turnover problem all season long. But only 12 in this game, six in both halves. That's very solid. Shooting wise, nothing great. 10 of 37 from three is going to be enough to get you beat a lot of the time. But in this game, it was not, because Cleveland did not come up to play in a big way. They actually shot 5-23 on their own, so not a lot of threes being made in this contest. But the Hawks played decent enough defense. They did enough offensively and escaped with what was, again, a pretty ugly win, but a win nonetheless. We'll go to the individual stuff, as we always do, and I'll try to breeze through this as well. I know we're getting a little bit long on time with a two-game podcast, but we'll start with Vince Carter. I mentioned before, 21 points, a season high for him, 4 rebounds, and a steal for Vince. He was 7 of 11 from the floor, 4 of 7 from 3, 3 of 4 from the free throw line. I asked Vince, he sort of sloughed it off as another night at the office, but playing with heart, making shots, and kind of letting the ball come to him. But, a number of huge shots. I thought he was really good in this game. The fact that Cleveland was playing small sort of helped the Hawks to play him more often in the second half, I thought. But just him making shots is going to be what happens when Vince is making shots. He's a really, really valuable piece on this team. I know he's very old, doesn't really fit the rebuild timeline, but there are games where he can provide all that, and his leadership as well is obviously huge. Poitras, another nice night, back-to-back from him, 11 points, 3 rebounds, and 16 minutes. Didn't play a ton, but did give valuable minutes when he did. 5-7 from the floor, 1 of 2 from three, and I thought he was very, very solid. Bembry offensively was kind of shaky in this game, 4 of 12 from the floor, 1 of 6 from three, but defensively he was huge. 2 steals, 2 blocks, did 11 points, 4 rebounds, and 3 assists. A very solid across the board effort from him. Jeremy Lin didn't play a ton because they went to Young, who was playing great in the second half. I can't really fault him for that, but Lin was fine. I thought when he played, 7 points, did have 3 rebounds, and 6 rebounds and 3 assists, I should say. He was +6. I thought he was pretty solid. Again, very nice performance from Jeremy. No fault of his that he didn't play more. Just Young was very good, and they wanted to ride with him, which I can't really fault. But, I thought Jeremy was pretty solid. Justin Anderson was actually a game-high +11 for the Hawks. He only had 2 points, but 5 rebounds, an assist, and 2 steals. I always love him, and that's not anything new, but his defense was hugely valuable and just allows you to switch and made little plays, made a huge steal down the stretch, and et cetera, et cetera. Last but not least, Miles Plumlee, six minutes, didn't play a ton, didn't even take a shot, missed both of his free throws, but got a rebound and assist, and good to see him back out there. That's probably where we'll leave that for there. But also, nor Dorsey, nor Hamilton, again, they've basically just been going to Anderson for all those minutes, and I can't really fault them. Same with Spellman. Those guys seem to be lower on the pecking order right now. We'll see how much Spellman plays in the near future. There was talk when he first came back from Pierce that he could be going to the G League. I think that's a better option than not playing him at all. So if the Hawks choose to not play Spellman in the rotation, it would probably be smart to get him down to Erie and have him play some on the court, get back in shape, et cetera, et cetera. We'll see what happens from there. To the starters, Kevin Huerter, sort of a slow night as a shooter, but I actually got a lot of praise after this game from Carter and Pierce and a lot of other people, just the way that he played overall. But 7 points, 3 of 12 from the floor, 1 of 5 from 3, did have 5 rebounds and 4 assists. I thought he played well in the floor game, good decision-making. Defensively, he competed in this game, just didn't shoot the ball particularly well. Kent Bazemore didn't have a great night, and then he actually got injured. Baze left this game with a sprained ankle in the third quarter. As a result, only played 20 minutes. No update on that as we have at this point in time. Pierce had not talked to him when he was available to the media, so no further update on Baze at this point. Hopefully, he'll be back in short order. I think the Hawks will not be pushing him necessarily, though, but just one of those things where they've been pretty careful with injuries, and a pretty quick turnaround, not a back-to-back, but about as close as you can get, a Monday afternoon game in Indiana with some travel. I'd be pretty surprised if Bazemore played in that game. That's just me reading between the lines. That's no inside info there at all. But, no update after the game, and the fact that he left the game pretty quickly. We'll see what happens with Bazemore moving forward. But I thought he was pretty solid. Just didn't shoot the ball particularly well. And we'll talk about him more later. Alex Lynn, 12 points, 4 rebounds, an assist, and a block for him in 24 minutes. I think, again, just didn't play a ton because of the small nature of the way that Cleveland was playing small, trying to run, and that's not really a Lynn's game, but he did have that huge performance in the first half, and that was very helpful in getting the Hawks this win. Collins, a pretty quiet night for him by his recent standards, but still 14-12. A very, very solid game from him. 5 fouls, 27 minutes. He probably would have played more if not for the fouls, but still was the closing center. And that was the right move, of course, with Collins playing the way that he has been. And last but not least, Trae Young, 21 points to tie for the lead with Vince Carter. Did have 9 assists to lead the team as well. 8 of 16 from the floor, 2 of 6 from 3, 3 of 4 from the free throw line. His shooting is quietly coming around a little bit. He's back into like the mid-30s over the last 10-12 games. That's nothing to be terribly excited about, but it's much better than the mid-20s. So he's, I think, shooting the ball with more confidence. A couple of nice pull-ups in this game. His passing was, again, just great. He had 3 or 4 just great finds of Len and Collins. His passing is just, I know I say it all the time, but he's already an elite passer. Like, elite is not a word that I use lightly. He is an elite passer. He's one of the best passers in the league already, and it's worth noting that. You know, defensively, he had some trouble with Colin Sexton, who was clearly playing hard. I asked Young about Sexton after the game, and he sort of brushed that off as just another matchup. But those guys will be, you know, they're in the same class. Pierce referenced that after the game as well when he was asked about Young and Sexton. Just the fact that those guys have been linked to each other for a while, has 2 lottery picks at the same position in the same class, but Young played well, and I thought outplayed him in this game. So shout out to Trae Young, he played well in this game. And again, the Hawks get a nice win here. They won 5 of 6. As I said before at the beginning of the podcast, the Hawks have not played the most difficult schedule here, and it's going to get more difficult. You know, the next 3 games are all on the road before the Hawks come home and play some challenging games as well. They play on Sunday back at home, but you know, they have to go to Milwaukee, they have to go to Indiana. The schedule is not going to be as easy as it has been, but still, 5 out of 6 games getting wins is not something that I thought this Hawks team was going to do at any point this season, and they're now 11-24. That's pretty solid, honestly. And I know people are starting to worry about the tank a little bit, I know, but it's just one of those things. And you know, nothing to worry about. The Hawks getting wins is not a bad thing necessarily. If they keep winning, then we'll have a different discussion. But I think a lot of the schedule related. But the Hawks are just playing better basketball, and that is worth noting as well. It's probably a good place to end the podcast today. As you noticed at the beginning of the pod, I'm sure this is episode 499, which means episode 500 is coming. I've already recorded it, and I teased it a little bit on Twitter today, but it's a very, very special guest that I have, a pretty big surprise guest. So hopefully you guys will subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already, but please tell your friends about that. I'll be tweeting that out when it comes. That'll be dropping Sunday night at some point in time, so please hold your breath for that one. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's a great way to commemorate 500 episodes, and I really appreciate everybody coming along for the ride with me. And then after that, we'll have another recap of the New Year's Eve game in Indiana. Another special guest that I have lined up that's a more familiar guest, but still always a fun time when he joins the program. So that's something to line up as well for post New Year's Day. And then we'll kind of get back into our normal routine again as we head into January and beyond. So please subscribe. Please tell your friends. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the podcast for 499 episodes. And episode 500 is coming. So again, check that out. And we'll see you guys on Sunday night.